Welcome along to Season 3, Episode 26 of LOI Weekly with Johnny Ward and Dan McDonald. We're back in Ireland, back from Baku. Unfortunately, Dundalk knocked out of the Champions League. Shamrock Rovers knocked out of the Europa League. Dundalk going to the Europa League to play Bratislava this week, and a very tasty draw if they get through that as well. On today's show, we have Donal Green. He's a Dundalk guy living in Bratislava and was involved with Dundalk FC in the past, and he's been living there for some years now, and he'll give a good insight into what Dundalk might face. And we'll also talk to Shane Supple ahead of Bowes and Shelburne, and to reflect on what's going on in Europe over the last week or so. We'll have Shane on the line. We'll have both guys from Skype, and Finn Harps as well, in really, really good form. Their defender Keith Cowan is going to be joining us from the Northwest to discuss their brilliant results of late. Follow us on Podcast Republic, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and at LOI Weekly on Twitter. And as you probably gather, Dan and I are in a proper studio this week, not recorded on an iPhone, Dan, which we got through.
I think that's our first time back doing the pod here together in around 4 weeks, because you were away one of the weeks and
I was in Riga
another week. So it's just the two of us here back home.
We can make it if we try.
Yeah. You're looking a bit fatigued. What were you up to for the weekend?
Went to a festival.
How old are you?
A lot younger than a lot of the people there.
Yeah. All Together Now, was it? Mm. Every time I hear that name, I keep thinking of that song from the farm song from the mid-90s. Remember it was Everton,
No Man's Land.
It was Everton's FA Cup final song in 1995. So every time I heard, like, I know a lot of people that rat that. It's all like, it's sort of like a middle-aged Electric Picnic type event, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
it's people Two who, of your indoor colleagues were at it, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're a bit old for festivals now. They'd rather one, like Rory was there, Rory O'Connor was there. He told me he was in a library. There was a library there with all the newspapers in it. So, I mean, it's a festival. It's a festival of notions. Yeah. But yeah, you didn't make the library yourself.
Make the library.
Where were you, son?
Just at various gigs.
Yeah. I saw pictures of you at various stages of the weekend. You looked somewhat.
It's a fairly mad place now.
Yeah,
and there are 20,000 people there or something, and it's very easy to get lost even if you've been there before, because there are so many different areas to the whole kind of massive big site that they have. But good fun. It's harder than to recover though from these things.
You look a bit like
I was grand after
a couple of the Dundalk players in the last 5 minutes of the game last week. That it's just caught up with you eventually.
Yeah,
the effort has taken its toll on you, but.
Rovers,
you don't really give much details in your weekend, but
none of it is football related. Rovers, I think, let one slip, but Dundalk and Carabao, what were your thoughts on it? Got a bit of slagging for saying that they'd been battered in the game, but I thought they were, to be honest.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to misquote you, because I can't. I don't know what you said, that you subsequently deleted a tweet or something. I don't know what that was about, but they were well beaten. They're well beaten. Like, to me, you know. They were still in the tie with 20 minutes to go, which was their plan, essentially. I think you can talk about that approach, obviously, and you can debate the rights or wrongs of it. And obviously, by playing Sean Hoare in midfield, they went very conservative. You know, they played two sitting midfielders. And that's a slight shift. I don't think, say, the previous manager would have gone that way. I could be wrong. I just can't remember him doing that in a game like that. I could be mistaken. Someone could correct me on that. But obviously, there was a strategy that acknowledged, well, these are probably better, you know, so stay in the game. So I think they achieved their job of staying in the game and, you know, conceded a bad second goal out of fatigue, really, and they got done. Like, I think the scoreline in the end did reflect the game. A battering to me is more Germany San Marino, like, you know, a team that scores 7 or 8 goals having had around 60 chances. Like, it wasn't that. It was a team that was far better than another team, winning by a scoreline that reflects dominance. You know, good teams don't necessarily get turned over anymore. The Carabao would have had to convert. I think you were saying, oh, they could have lost 7 or 8 nil. I've seen people say that. Well, for a team to do that, they need to be converting pretty much all of their good chances. You know, every game would finish around 8-5.
They were poor in front of goal, Carabao. But just looking back on Soccer Republic, I didn't realise how close Hoban was to actually scoring. He kind of blamed the pitch, I think. But
I spoke to him going on to the plane. And he was chatting to the dog fan there, and I was sort of just at the edge of discussion. He was saying if it was Oriel Park or Talbot that would have gone in. We were at sort of a ground level over there. So, you know, it's only actually when I saw the highlights, actually, you got a sense of maybe some of the stuff that happened in the match. Even a sense of really how much the first goal was preventable too. I think that would be a real sense of disappointment. It seems to have happened a lot quicker when we were there. But... they probably had opportunities to snuff that out, you know. But look, they've they're not really at it though, are they? But some, sometimes we can. I think we only have a certain amount of European games per year for all our clubs. So like we tend to analyse them to death and like draw conclusions out of them in a dramatic sense. Like I think if you're talking broadly about the results this year so far, you know. Teams have sort of got by teams like Rovers shocked Bran, really. Okay, now I think that's more a perception of how Bran see themselves. But I mean, Rovers overperformed nearly, you think, because to knock out a team from Norwich in a better league. Cork probably underperformed against Progress. The Dock haven't been firing, but got through against the team you would expect them to get through against nearly. Went out to the team you would expect them.
Riga
to
go didn't to. Go on and bet the Polish.
And then Riga bet the Polish champions, which is a mad result. Definitely wouldn't have seen that one coming. So, like, things have sort of fallen in line almost for what you would expect. Because even though shocks I referred to, Cork Progress, you know, it's not dramatic at all. And Progress have done better, like, in Europe in recent seasons. And, you know, Rovers, Brann, fair enough. Like, we have, Ireland had never beaten a club from Norway. And, like, even, I think it was something since the 70s, you know. So, like, the results haven't been that bad, you know. I think it's actually been an okay year. And even look at the coefficient results, it's actually been one of the better years. But there's still a natural sense of disappointment when teams go out. I mean, Rovers would have been overperforming to knock out Apollon, even though in the two games, they didn't look like a team that Apollon, who, I don't know if you saw the game on Thursday, but they didn't look like a team that they didn't look like a team that performed as they did in the group stages last year. So maybe a lot of these teams are clicking into form. But Rovers, like, they were actually good enough to get through that game. I think they'll actually take a certain amount of confidence from that they got themselves into a position. The only slight fear you would have from a Rovers perspective, and I know they did the job against Brann, but if you look at it over the last month or so, like the Dundalk game where they were on top and stuff, you just need to be a bit more clinical as a team. You know, like when they're on the ropes, you know, you apply the knockout blow. I mean, you know, they were down to 10 men and they had 25 minutes or so with 10 men and they just didn't really drive on. And
they had extra time.
And then, and the red card for League Race next time was created from a Rovers attack, you know, and Dan Carr got himself in a bit of a
tangle. It was a mad game in that Limassol from the two legs, they showed serious indiscipline. Like in the first half, Greg Bulger was stamped on and whoever did it should clearly have gotten sent off. So they got away with that.
They were there for the taking and Rovers didn't.
But the sending off them was just so stupid on their part. Rovers were Rovers were 2-0 down. They were really struggling in the game at that stage and they needed a goal. They got like an extra man from nothing to do with their own creativity. Aaron Green, who's been missing sitters in front of goal all season, then doesn't have to think about it and scores an audacious goal from 30 yards. And you're just thinking, at the very least, get the penalties here. At the very, very least, because you've an extra man. These lads are tiring as well. Even when it was 10. Well,
not the very least, get the penalties. Get through. That's what they had to do. They didn't even
get the penalties.
But they actually, I mean, look, no. they met attacking substitutions, to be fair, to try and close it off. Another problem, which I think they exposed, though, was the lack of depth they have in defence. Areas. They didn't have an experienced defender on the bench, so when Grace got sent off, they ended up having to do almost a reshuffle with moving Ethan Boyle. Gary O'Neill ended up in their sort of a right-sided defensive role, and there was too many square pegs and round holes. They've tried. Obviously, Liam Scales was one they were looking at. I think they've obviously looked at other defenders. I don't think they're ploughing on as though they're not aware that it's a problem. But it is actually. It's cost them, I think, because
I thought they could have.
When the red card was conceded, when Lee Grace was sent off, then there is an element of get at the penalties in that situation. But they didn't have the players to manage it.
What I'm saying is, at the very least, get the penalties. But you should be winning this game with an extra man now at this stage, because you just need one goal to get through. They shouldn't be conceding against an extra man in extra time. And the extra man, like Lee Grace's first yellow was obviously...
Well, no, when they conceded, it was 10 v 10. 10 10.
Lee Grace, that tackle, obviously, like, he shouldn't be getting sent off there because he's already on a book. And it broke down from, as you say, from an attack and play. They looked a bit like they didn't really know how to handle the 11v10. I thought they were kind of gung-ho, but like were still looking vulnerable. Like even at the end of full-time, they were passing around the back and nearly gave away a goal. I think Grace hit it to Ethan Boyle. Ethan Boyle hit it back to the keeper. Manus kind of lost possession and they very nearly coughed up a goal. And it was like, this shouldn't be happening. You're 11v10.
Yeah, well, I don't mind so much about that. If it's a footballing team, you still pass the ball around. Like, you know?
I was just like, get it to extra time and then you've 10v11 for 30 minutes. But in fairness, Limassol, they're still a good side. It was very hot. Like, it was it was hard on Rovers.
Well, the other Cypriot teams, their results, if you look at them last week, I mean, this is the thing. I think one of the other Limassol team got knocked out. But I mean, Larnaca won 4-0 away to Levski Sofia. And Applewell, but we'll see what Applewell are like. They won comfortably against teams from Montenegro. So, like, we'll see what they're like. But anyway, listen, Dundalk are still in the game.
I think Rovers will feel like they let it slip.
Oh, they did, yeah. No, they did. They did. I think there's no other way.
Some achievements.
There's no other way of describing it. Like, I mean, to knock out two, like, there would have been. It's funny, like, it's the margins. You know, now we're just being critical and going through it. Whereas if they'd done it, it would have been almost two of the best back to back results by an Irish club in some time, you know, probably since Dundalk in 2016, you know. So, that's probably the frustration, that like they actually showed that they're well capable of competing at that level, but they didn't get the job done. And last year in Sweden, they didn't get it done. Like, they just need to be more clinical to sort of match their actual chances and possession that they have in some of these matches. Although, I mean, they actually got a bit of a chasing in the first half, actually, a bit on Thursday.
They did,
to be fair, but they recovered from it. But
I thought Carabeg were really good. Like, I couldn't really knock them off much. I just thought this side, of all the teams they've played, their speed of movement, and the crowd as well was mad. I was just thinking, coming back, there were 6,000, maybe even 5,500 if you include the cops at the game. It was unbelievable atmosphere. Like, it was, even listening on the box.
There was 500 police there, yeah.
There were, but you don't need like that many people at a game. If League of Ireland Stadium can produce great, that was one of the best like atmospheres I've had at a football game. There were only 6,000 people there. It was obviously hostile out in the effectively Middle East, but I think Carabeg will do very well. I thought they were excellent.
But see, yeah. I mean, I think it wasn't a factor in the results, but I mean, the heat was a factor as well. Like, you know, I think Dundalk probably struggled as well to be as energetic as they would normally. Like, it's very rare you see Dundalk fading. I mean, Dundalk got a lot of penalties because other teams get tired later in games. Generally, they finish strongly. I mean, you saw in the home leg, they finished really strongly. But they were flagging a bit at the end. So the heat was a factor, not enough to excuse the outcome. And we'll see. I mean, Carabag-Apparel now is an interesting tie. I think certainly a lot of the Dundalk lads would feel that Carabag could go far. Now, as it happens, if they get through, they play the winner of the Pauk Ajax game. And obviously, if Dundalk had passed Slovan Bratislava, they play the loser of that tie. So I think in either scenario for Carabag, that would probably be difficult if they get by Applewell. So it just goes to show, like, you play a team that's that good at that stage of the competition, and Carabag still have two really difficult ties to try and get to the Champions League. So if it's difficult for them, then how difficult is it for the Irish club? You know, and this is the problem in the Europa League route for Dundalk now. Even it's actually a mixed bag. I mean, they've got a job. We're going to go to Donal Green and Bratislava shortly to speak about the tie they've got. But if they get through that tie, even to have to play a team like Pauk or Ajax to get to the group stages of the Europa League is brutally hard. Now,
next to no chance.
There were options in that draw. Like, there was. I think, like, Doodleland, it just goes to show, right? You can have structures and you can have a plan and you can have this and that, whatever. The luck of the draw is also a massive factor for Irish club success in Europe. And there's a scenario here to get into the group stage where Doodleland, who were almost at the Dundalk of last year, the team from Luxembourg, I think they play a team from Estonia in the third round of the Champions League. And if they win that, they play another. There was a couple of unseeded options where two unseeded teams get each other. So the winner of Doodleland and that team from Estonia plays the winner of a team from Georgia and a team from Armenia.
Wow.
And one of those teams is in the group stages of the Europa League. But, you know, the Dundalk's winners play the Pauk Ajax losers. Mm. So they certainly haven't had their luck on their side in terms of the permutation. And it just goes through. You can make any plans you want to get group stages and need to do this and need to do that. I think even a better Dundalk would find it very hard to cope with what's coming. But maybe we'll talk about the Bratislava game. I think for people who've listened the last couple of weeks, obviously it's been very European centric. There is other stuff going on in the league. There's a full round of FA Cup games. There's Finn Harps in a revival.
Congratulations to Derry for getting the
scoring trip result. David Parkhouse with 4 goals. So there's other stuff to talk about. But Bratislava Dundalk is live on air tomorrow night, and there is a man from Dundalk living in Bratislava who's an ex-Dundalk player. He's on the books. That's Donal Green, and he's been doing a bit of scouting. He's very much on top of what's going on with Bratislava at the moment. So
you're not going yourself, of course. You're taking a week off.
I'm here. Mm. I'm obviously not going.
Are you disappointed?
No.
You've had a few trips this
year. This was on the cards. Aidan Fitzmaurice is over there for us, and
of course, if Rovers have gotten through, they would have been playing Vienna.
The doubleheader would have been possible.
Yeah, and Vienna and Bratislava are an hour away on the
doubleheader would have been possible. Have been no, cool. I'm happy. No, listen, happy enough to. You can't do them all. And
where are you going to watch the game?
I don't know.
Who knows?
I mean, probably in a hostelry of some kind. I just moved into a new house. I don't have Air Sport in yet. Getting around to it. So like
it's shameful admission considering. Yeah.
Where we are.
You've done so much work for Air over the last.
Well, I haven't got around to getting it in yet. I'm like, I'm still in that area.
You've done a lot of renovation, but you haven't sorted Air.
A lot of renovation.
We've seen it on Instagram. It's like now and then, here was the kitchen and here it is. It's impressive. House is looking well done.
Yeah. My head's all over the place at the moment. I had a very unfortunate incident in B&Q a couple of weeks ago. People who are listening to this who've gone through the whole renovations, you know, like you're in autopilot doing this stuff the whole time, right? So, I was in B&Q and I'm so used to going and getting paint and taking buckets of paint and just carrying a bucket of paint in and out, whatever it might be. And so I was there with the missus in B&Q and you know, getting some stuff off the counter, you know, and I wasn't really paying that much attention. I was like, gosh.
She took a bag up.
And I was like, I took another bucket and I walked out, you know, and we're walking out of the shop and she turns around to me and she's like, what the hell are you doing? I was like, what are you talking about? Like, and basically there was a charity collection at the end of the B&Q counter, which I had just taken up and walked. I think it was for Focus Ireland, you know? So like, I just had to turn around and sprint back in straight away.
Disgrace journalist
drop it down on the counter. I was like, listen, really sorry about that. I was like, it's a really worrying attention span instant.
Of late after the Dundalk home leg against Carabag, you went to get petrol, pay the petrol and didn't actually put any petrol in.
That was very.
And then the following morning you bought a bar of chocolate and didn't pay or vice versa.
No, I just left on the counter and walked out of the shop. So like I definitely think it just goes to show
you're evolving into me or something.
I might actually have it's either that or like deep neurological issues are sort of beginning to form.
Let's go to Bratislava. Donal, I suppose the first question, what brought you to Bratislava?
Well, if you meet an expat in Bratislava, there's probably only one reason they've come here, and it's usually involving a woman. So I've got a son over here. I came over here 8 years ago to be close to him, and been happy enough since then to be based here.
And what's it like in terms of being to Vienna? Is it like your normal kind of European city, or
it's getting there? Like when I came here 8 years ago, it was a couple of steps behind the rest of the cities in the region in terms of the people, you know, English language level, their openness to outsiders. But definitely in the last 8 years, this made a lot of progress. It's a lot more open now. But it still wouldn't be at the same level as the likes of maybe, definitely not Vienna, but even not the same as Prague or Warsaw or those other cities in the region.
What was your background with Dundalk?
I'm obviously born and bred in Dundalk. Went up to play there when I was about 14 actually. Was involved in teams with Jim Gannon, first of all, then John Gill, Sean Connor, Ian Foster, but never really played much in the first team, a couple of benches and a few friendlies and stuff like that. So it was more or less just youth team. And then we had the A Championship for a couple of years and I played in that. So been around the club for a while, but first and foremost, I'm a supporter since I was about 4 years old, and that's the main association.
Yeah, because I was talking to John Gill just at the airport last week when we got back from Baku, and he was just mentioning that you'd gone to watch a couple of the Bratislava games and sent a report back. I mean, it must have been funny almost to suddenly find yourself in a position where you can be helpful to Dundalk rather than sort of being, I don't know, adrift from afar, to actually be able to offer something.
Yeah, and like that's the thing. Like if you think back down to when I would have been involved, that was 10 years ago now, and we were really down in the doldrums, and it was not a fashionable thing to be a Dundalk fan. And now kind of looking from a distance, seeing the success they've had, it's kind of, I'm a little bit jealous of the fans who are involved now, because they're a little bit spoiled, I think. Mm. But yeah, it was great when I saw the draw that they could have got Slovan if they didn't progress against Carabag. I text John and I said, I hadn't spoken to him in a long, long time. And I said, look, John, I'm obviously based here. And if you want me to go along, I'll happily go and make a few notes, which I did. And then myself and John just met up for coffee last night with Vinny and Stephen O'Donnell and just had a chat about, I think Stephen's research was more or less the same as mine. He'd watched videos and stuff and we kind of came to the same conclusions.
Okay, well, I mean, we'll move on to that, because I think when the draw is made, I think that sometimes people know the name Slovan Bratislava, so there's like a respect for them, you know, that there's a sense of their, yeah, that's a team. I mean, they won the Cup Winners' Cup or something back in the day, or they certainly won a European trophy back in the day, or they certainly have a story.
They beat Real Madrid, I think, in the final of the Cup Winners' Cup.
So like they have a story
years ago, though. Yeah.
So they have a storied history, but at the same time, it would appear that maybe they're not the force they were, or maybe they're having some problems at the moment because, well, you can tell us. I mean, where are Slovan Bratislava at right now?
Well, they're actually celebrating their 100th year in operation, so they're not a flash in the pan. They've been around for a while. They're the most successful club in the history of Czech or Slovakia. So they've obviously got pedigree. You're right in saying, though, that the last couple of years they haven't really hit the heights that would be expected from them. They're the only team playing in the first league from Bratislava, obviously the capital city. And other teams like Dunajská Streda, Žilina, Spartak Trnava have been kind of hogging the limelight for the last couple of years. But there's a bit of a shift now because they've moved into this beautiful new stadium. I don't know if you've seen it. It's 22,500 seater.
Looks amazing.
It's like it's like a mini Aviva. It's really a beautiful first-rate stadium, and they've got a lot of money behind them now. There's a local businessman, or as they call them here, oligarchs, Ivan Kmotrik. He's the kind of media property mogul, and he bought the club, invested a lot of money into it. They've signed lads like Sporar and a Nigerian player for well over €1 million. So they've got money behind them. They've got investment. The players are earning good money on long-term contracts. But the thing is, the squad they have, they've only one or two Slovaks in it. And I think the crowd have an issue with that.
I saw a piece you did with Queeveen Riley from
the Dundalk Democrat,
where you were alluding to the type of fan they have, which I thought was quite interesting.
Well, that was maybe one of the side comments that I made, which maybe got turned into one of the main topics of it. I mean, there are some things which are well documented, like the vice president of the club and the son of the owner has actually been videoed. It's on YouTube. You can check it and sanctioned for making a right-handed salute on the pitch to his own fans. So I think he got like a couple of months ban and a 10 grand fine. So there is an element there. I think there's obviously a negative element of many clubs, but that's definitely something that it's not just an observation. It's a kind of accepted fact that there is an element of that among their support. Having said that, it's like most clubs with that sort of issue, like 95% of the people who go to games are just regular people with no interest in politics, you know?
Mm. So what are Dundalk's chances here then? Because in Bratislava, they were knocked out by the team Sejeska from Montenegro in the first round of the Champions League. I think they conceded a couple of late goals in both games. And then they knocked out the team from Kosovo, Ferencvárosi. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong in some shape or form. They got through them. So I don't know. What was your take on Dundalk's chances here, Donald?
I think first and foremost, they have a very good chance. It's a good time to be playing Slovan, given the fact that they're only, I think, three games into the league season, maybe four games. The Champions League game was a huge disappointment for them. The fact that they went out against the Montenegrin team, their manager actually got sacked straight after the game. It was that much of a disappointment. And then I watched them against Verona Kelly in the two legs, and they definitely weren't convincing. They've obviously got a lot of quality in their team. But the fans here, like they really get on the team's back if things aren't going well. And it's not just whether you're winning or not, it's how you're playing. Like I was at the Verona Kelly game and they got booed off the pitch at halftime when they were 1-0 up. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a little bit of disconnect between the fans and the players. The players at times look like they're only kind of going through the motions. Having said that, they have a lot of quality. So I think Dundalk will need to turn up big time tomorrow. And they'll also have to expect or hope that Slovan maybe don't hit 100% of their potential to have a chance of going through.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. It sounds like it could be an opportunity for Dundalk to lift themselves. I don't know what you made of the Carabao game, but what have you made of Dundalk in terms of the European run?
Like I was talking to the lads about this last night. You know, the consent, if you read the fans' forums and Twitter and Oriel Webb and all of that, you kind of get the sense that Dundalk aren't playing well at the minute. And, you know, they've just gone 20 games unbeaten while supposedly not playing well. Because I think people expect a certain brand of football, which they had under Stephen Kenny. And I think it obviously there's a transition with Vinny coming in to put his own stamp on the team. Against Carabag, like, that's a different kettle of fish than Slovan. Like, I'd say Stevie O'Donnell was looking at Carabag and going through their team and saying, lads, like, where is the weakness in this side? They just look so strong across the park, and they had some players who were one or two levels above what the Dundalk lads would have met in the past. Slovan aren't like that. I think if you look at Slovan, you can see where they're strong, you can see where they're weak, and Dundalk can definitely get at them.
Mm. Is it fair to say the weakness might be defensively? I mean, they conceded a couple of set piece goals as well and stuff in the recent ties, but that seems to be the tone of some of the stuff. Even I was reading Aidan Fitz this morning, I think Vinny had suggested that to him, that maybe defensively they might be vulnerable to some degree.
Yeah, like the two games that I saw live in the stadium here, they were pretty much all out attack, although with no real tempo. So they play with the two fullbacks going right up to double up on the wings. And they generally leave, it'll be six or eight who will kind of sit in to make it a back three. But at times they even leave it at a back two. They get so confident in themselves going forward that they kind of commit too many bodies forward, in my opinion. And they don't transition very well then when they lose the ball. So I think if Dundalk can turn it around fast, they have a chance of turning them and getting in behind. And you're right as well from set pieces. Like it's the side for Ronnie Kelly, no disrespect to them. I think they're not even pretty much semi-pros, all they are. And they were all small lads, but they got a goal from a free kick. It was a ball put into the box. Slovan didn't deal with it and fell to a guy unmarked at the edge. So I think from set pieces, they're definitely susceptible.
I take it you'll be able to enjoy the game as well.
Well, I'm actually doing the LMFM commentary.
With Adrian.
Adrian gave me a shout there. I think he was badly stuck for somebody, so he asked me to do it. So I'll enjoy that. It should be decent. At least you get good seats. But I think the away end for Dundalk fans isn't great. It's kind of up in the nosebleed seats, and you've got this kind of plastic bulletproof or whatever it is, glass in front of you. So it's not the most comfortable atmosphere for the away fans.
I think you're underselling yourself there, Donal, in terms of your burgeoning radio career. But enjoy the game, and thanks very much for the insight.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but thanks very much, lads.
Cheers,
I appreciate
Donal. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Donal. See ya. I think what's interesting about that there, Johnny, he spoke about the potential for Dundalk to turn things around quickly on the break. I kind of wonder, will that influence their selection? And like, there's been a bit of discussion maybe around the form of Michael Duffy and how he's been faring. But actually, like, as that game has been described there, as Slovan's style has been described there, it's actually like a perfect scenario for someone like Duffy.
What about
maybe
Daniel
even
Kelly?
Someone, I was just going, the next person I was going to say, or maybe even someone like Daniel Kelly, that it must be tempting. I think I've sometimes, like Dundalk, I always find that the selection of Dundalk's right-sided midfielders sometimes tell you something about what way they're going to play in the game. Whether it's the McGrath style, it's the Mountney for maybe the more defensive job, or Kelly, who hasn't started the game in Europe, but obviously that would be the most bold strategy of them all. But I suppose it must be tempting if you think that that's how Bratislava are going to approach the game. There's a natural element of first legs, of there's a caginess and you stay in the tie, and so on. But actually, if this is the way that Bratislava play, do you almost want to think, you know, you need to strike them, you know, and punish them
and
get the away goal? So that's the challenge I'd imagine they're probably pouring over in terms
midfield
of figuring out what
to do. Midfield is going to be Vinny's alluded to this, that the midfield has had a lot of changes, enforced changes this year, and you have like just. Obviously, Flora is out, Benson's been out, McElhenney was out earlier in the season, and they went with that sort of sitting two, as you said, the other week, which didn't really work.
I can't imagine they'd do that again for this one. They'd probably look to bring in someone like Murray.
Sean Murray came in, who's
good tactically, and you know,
I think Jarvis could actually do a very good job there. I know they've played
him
a little bit there.
Sporadically, yeah. It's another one to think about. I would say about Duffy, I think Duffy spoke a couple of weeks back. I mean, Duffy still has, ultimately, I think he's been struggling with a groin injury for most of this season. I think even at half-time in games, he needs to be doing these exercises and stuff. And I think, you know, sometimes that's like, this is the fixture congestion and stuff. It catches up on you over time. McElhenney, even to me, hasn't been at his best, but I wouldn't be shocked if he's been inhibited by just, I don't know, pain, you know. Now, this is just he was wearing strapping in the first leg, I think, of the Riga match and stuff like that. So they're not firing. And I mean, there comes a point, as crazy as it sounds, where would you think about, even if you think someone's not right, would you start McGrath centrally and actually think of taking McElhenney out of the firing line, but with a view to bringing him on in the game and seeing if a 30-minute impact could really suit him. It seems heresy with someone that someone that technically good could you not play them in a European match? And I suspect deep down he probably still will play him.
He told me after the game that he really struggled with that heat, and he was just describing how the jersey was like if you had it in water and just squeezed it afterwards. Yeah. And it was hard to... like it was kind of hard to relate initially because we weren't obviously like we weren't running around, but all the players were saying it was really tough.
You saw Gannon, like he's one of the fittest players in the country.
Panting, like
he was. At one point, I thought he picked up a muscle injury. He was about to come off, but it turned out I think it was just an element of just that fatigue creeping in. So. He's got a few decisions to play out here, and it depends. Like a lot of this stuff is like recovery and how you've managed your week. You know, they've come off the back of a now a lot of people listen to this would say they should be playing a game at the weekend, and like you know that's it's not an unfair point from their perspective, but maybe the likes of McElhenney and Duffy, maybe just a bit of downtime and just you know recharge a small bit. It might bring them back fresher and better because they certainly need more from those players.
Shane Supple is now on the line with an exclusive reaction to the clobber that he wore for the Finn Harps.
Cork Pats, John.
It was Cork Pats.
I think you were in Galway, Baku, or some festival when this was on.
Is it denim or is it not? I'm a bit confused.
It's not denim, no. It's not denim. No. I wouldn't do denim. Not at all. I wouldn't be able to pull that off. Just about pull that off, I think, on Friday,
did
you know.
Did he pull it off, Dan?
I don't know. I mean, he's happy in himself. Yeah. That's the most important thing, to be honest, you know.
As long as you're happy.
That's it, yeah.
Like, you know what they say?
I'm happy, I'm comfortable.
Yeah. I know, listen, he's retired before, but like, you know, the first year after retirement, footballers, they're trying to find themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and he's clearly going through some kind of phase. We have to be supportive to him during this phase. Like it's important.
I've got
to be
a bit braver, Dan. That's what it is.
It's a bit braver. You couldn't have. Would you have rocked into the dressing room wearing that now? No chance.
Not with the likes of Bucco and Keith Wardy there now at the slate. No chance. No.
It looks like something. Your right back could be trying to flog you. how are you keeping anyway post retirement and all that?
Oh, good, yeah. It's grand. Like missing the plane, obviously. But as I said, a busy month there with Air doing the game, so it's great like to be involved that way.
Yeah, Bose have had a fair bit of a wobble. It has to be said.
Yeah, I think obviously losing Dini was massive for them, you know, and they never, you know, in fairness to Swanee, he works his socks off and that, but he's not Dini. And, you know, the lads are used to playing with Dini up top, and it took them a bit of time. He's got Andre Wright in now, probably not fully match fit, but I think, you know, the loss of Dini, of all the players, you know, I don't think you could afford to lose Dini, and you could probably put James Talbot in that bracket as well, but... you know, in terms of goals, you know, Dini is a massive blow.
We'll get to the cup games, but what have you made of the two European ties from last week? Obviously, Shamrock Rovers did have a sort of a great chance to get through, and ultimately didn't. And Dundalk now going into the Europa League to play Slovan Bratislava.
Yeah, no, Rovers is very impressed with them and how they performed against a side like that, and it was unfortunate for them at the end. Obviously, we couldn't watch the game, but I was kind of trying to follow it on Twitter and that, and. And it seemed like at one stage they were, you know, the real chance of getting through. And unfortunately, the sending's off probably changed the game in the end for them. But listen, they'll take great heart from that and momentum, you know, going forward and for the rest of the season. I saw the second leg of the Dundalk game and they were completely outclassed, in my opinion. That Carabag side look, you know, really, really decent. And it's just a question of how Dundalk going to, you know, really bridge that gap to get to the next, you know, the next level. It's a tricky one because I think, you know, as much as we try to, you know, promote the league here and say good things about it, we have to be honest, and they're not getting the games week in, week out here where they can rise to that level when they need to come the European games. And plus, Carabag are obviously he's only starting their pre-season as well. So, you know, if you look at it from in those two kind of contexts, it's a tricky one. A bit, you know, investment. Do they need a bit more investment in the squad? Will they be able to attract, you know, the quality of player? Because I don't know whether that player is in this country at the moment. So a few questions probably need to be asked and reassessed maybe with them going forward to, you know, to maybe get through a couple more rounds of the Champions League qualifying stage.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem, isn't it? Because they have the players to win the league here. I know Rovers are obviously a very strong squad now, but Dundalk still have, you know, the players, the best all-round squad to win the league here. So there's nothing wrong with the players they have as such in terms of achieving your domestic targets. So how do you upgrade, you know, while risk losing something as well? When you have guys who know the league, it's a bit of a catch-22 one in a degree, you know?
Yeah, it is. And I think, listen, you know, there's lots of talk and lots of stuff going on at the moment where the league is going, the direction it's going. But we need to bring everyone else up, really. And that's going to, you're going to be able to attract, you know, maybe certain players or a different kind of player to the league if players are aware it's stronger. There's financially, there, you know, there's more money within the league. You know, facilities are going to be better. So it's you know, the league as a whole, you know, the rest of the teams within the league, they all need to. But, you know, the Kieran Lucid thing is an interesting one. And, you know, the money that's potentially around there for a club finishing last is three times, I think, what it would be for winning the league nearly. So if you could get it to that stage, I think that's going to help Dundalk. I don't think there's much more like Dundalk can really do without being extravagant in terms of their spending and you know, doubling salaries or tripling salaries to attract players in so that they compete, you know, for two or three games a year. I don't think that will probably happen, but we need to bring everyone else up and try to get them up to that level. But we don't have the players, enough players within the league at the moment, I don't think, of the quality that's needed.
Yeah, because the way things have fallen the last couple of weeks, like you've ended up doing a lot of games just because the Dundalk and Rovers has been in Europe, so there's been the sort of mid-table type games. I mean, something like Cork Pats last Friday, I mean, I caught a good bit of that game. So these are two teams at the moment, what, fifth and eighth. Like, it wouldn't inspire you, you know? It wouldn't, like, in terms of the levels of some of these matches haven't been terrific, to say the least.
No, they haven't. And I think, I don't know, if some stat man was to get down and do the maths on it, you know, look at the amount of goals that have been scored throughout the league. I imagine it's massively down on years. Teams seem to be just nullifying each other or cancelling each other out at times in games. And, you know, obviously, yeah, we've done a lot of games in the last month and they haven't been, the quality hasn't been that great. You know, the Pats Cork game the other day, Pats play, you know, we know what the way Pats play. They play nice football, but it's all in front of you. There's not really penetration there. And it was disappointing. Cork, you just don't know what's going on there with them. They've gone backwards massively. There seems to be no real game plan there. But again, Bowls are not scoring many goals. So it's a funny one. I'd love to know, actually, if someone was to sit down and do the stats and the amount of goals that have been scored this season, because there definitely isn't as many as in previous years, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, here have had a spate of games now with like one or no goals. It's just been that sort of a run.
But I think the league at this time of year, like the European thing, is overarches. It sort of dominates everything. But it is just in terms of, I don't know, like Finn Harps are a great story at the moment. They're flying along and they're going well. Yeah. But just a lot of the teams are in the middle. I don't know. They're just, when you consider the enthusiasm you have probably around the new season in February, March. But I think now, to go back to the broader point, I mean, we had a guest on before speaking about how there's a perception that Dundalk maybe aren't playing that well at the moment, but then pointing out, well, they are unbeaten for 20 games. But it feels like they've been unbeaten for 20 games without needing to be sensational. And like that's a problem. I can see why it would probably wind up some of the Dundalk lads who probably have great pride in that run that they've been on. But I don't know. They're clearly not getting enough and enough of a challenge. And I don't know how you address it. I don't know how you actually address the problem.
No, I don't think, and it's not a quick fix either, Dan. You know, with it, definitely not. We need to, I know there's a lot of talking going on and there's a working group as well within the league sitting down and looking at things, and that's what needs to be done. But it needs to be a 5-10 year kind of plan and, you know, put realistic goals in place to achieve these, you know, to bring teams up or you know, bring the game along to a certain level. And hopefully, you know, with the sounds of it, there are some good people in there with some good ideas. But that's what needs to be done. It's not a quick fix. We need to try stuff out. It's not working. Like, a bit like the GA, you know, maybe every couple of years they try a couple of rules out, new rules, and see how they, you know, implement them during the league. And if they work, they keep them. If not, you know, and some people say, well, we don't like you messing with the tradition of the game and that. But that game has evolved massively. Football has evolved certainly over the years, and we as an organisation and, you know, as stakeholders in the game, we need to look at, you know, how to improve the product all around for fans, players, you know, everyone, to see what we can do to bring it forward. But yeah, I can't see the likes of a Dundalk, you know, getting through to a Champions League group stages. Certainly not within the next 15, 20 years, the way it's at the moment.
No, I think you know, other leagues are improving that were nearly behind us. So I think that's the problem. I suppose if we are talking generally, though, about energising seasons, maybe the Cup is coming around at the right time for some of these teams because I mean, you know, Bow, Shells on Friday is a great cup tie. But even some of those other middle table teams that we've mentioned before, like Cork and Pats, that could lift your season. But look, at Bow Shells is a standout. I think if we were to name all the players like involved, you know, coaches involved against their former club or whatever, we'd be here forever. But you'd have a very good insight to both of those camps, I guess. I mean, this is a... And I mean, I even think of off the field people like Dave Henderson, who he'd be, he'd be very good terms with people like that. I mean, this is a hell of a tie, really, isn't it, for the first round?
Yeah, it's a great tie. As you said, like, I suppose going back to ourselves last year, the cup gave us a massive boost last year. You know, the run we went on with Bohemians into the semi final and the replay eventually with Cork, we lost. But it can do for the likes of some of the teams around mid table. It can be a massive lift for a season that's effectively been a dead rubber for a good chunk of teams within there. The league, so it definitely can ignite things there. But yeah, the Bow Shells thing will be very interesting. Obviously, Ian Morris, manager of Shells this year and former player, and I'll be very close to Ian and that, and he's done a fantastic job. I just don't know with this game on Friday. You know, Ian is obviously their four games out. You know, did a bad result on Saturday down in Cove, and other teams like Drogheda and Longford, which they have to play in their next two games. You know, I think he might have one eye on the league and getting over the line there. That is his bread and butter, and that's what he was brought in to do this year. So, yes, the beaten Bows are in the cup on Friday night will be a nice bonus for them, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gave some other players a run out in that one. But for Bows, yeah, definitely the cup is something I know Keith and the lads definitely are, you know, would like to get a run in and get to a final and win a trophy ideally. And it would be great to see them do that. So it'll be an interesting game. There'll be a lot of needle in it, obviously, for the fans as well. It's a fantastic game to have as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, actually, because, I mean, Bows have everything to lose from this tie, really. Whereas it would strike me maybe as more of a free shot for Shells because, it's you know, they've got other things on their mind. But that's interesting. You seem to think it's possible they might not necessarily be full throttle. I mean, not that they're not going to be full throttle, but you know what I mean. The manager might have other factors in his mind.
Yeah, well, certainly. As I said, there's four games left in the season, and you know the objective at the start of the season was to get promoted automatically. with the lead they did have and they still have, you know, it'd be very disappointing if you know someone was to claw that back on them and they had to win through the playoffs. We know a lot of teams that end up in the playoffs after leading for so long are looking like they're getting automatic. They tend to struggle in playoff situations. Mm. So teams that have just got in or have a bit of momentum. So Ian is you know, his main priority is certainly getting promotion. And I think he'll, you know, listen, it is a shot to nothing, I suppose, to an extent for them on Friday night. Bows at home, they have everything to lose. So I don't think Ian will be overly concerned if they did go out this time around. But, yeah, I think he'll put out slightly weakened side, I'd imagine, come Friday.
Thanks a million for that, Super Subs.
No problem, lads.
Thanks, Shane. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers,
yeah,
Shane.
All the best. Thanks.
See ya.
Cheers, lads.
See ya.
Earlier on, we heard from Keith Cowan, the Harps defender, on WhatsApp audio. I first asked him, how is this great run that Harps have gone on happened? And is it part of a great spirit in the camp? Obviously, they're ahead, looking ahead to Friday's game against Rovers. How tough is that going to be? And essentially, their hopes for the rest of the season?
Yeah, we're definitely on a great run at the moment. I don't think there's any real sort of magic formula in terms of how we've put a few results back to back. There's definitely a case for maybe cutting out a few errors in key areas. But I think anybody who'd maybe watched our games throughout the season, we definitely felt ourselves that we had been unlucky and maybe should have got a few more points here and there. But look, we've been at the other end of the scale too, where we maybe weren't sure where the next few points were coming from. You know, it's important not to get too down when things weren't going our way earlier in the year. And, you know, I think we've got enough experience in the camp to try and keep it as positive as possible. You know, and if things didn't go your way at the weekend, then, you know, come in Monday, come in fresh and, you know, try and put a positive spin on it. And, you know, try and, I suppose, relate to the younger lads that, you know, it's not all about picking up 3 points or points every week like maybe other teams need to. Or so it's just a case of, you know, trying to keep things as positive as possible, try and keep everybody, you know, upbeat and you know, that come Friday that we're ready to go again, and you know, anything that that we can put on the board is going to be a major positive for us. Yeah, Rovers is going to be extremely tough this week. You know, I suppose they're kind of, you know, they'll be on a high, I suppose, after Europe. I know things didn't go their way in the last round, but that'll give them huge confidence that they weren't too far away. You know, we've faced them a couple of times this year already, and you know, they've sort of up there in the first game, you know, it could have been a lot more than what it turned out. I think it turned out 3 in the end. It could have been a lot more. We thought maybe we should have got something in Baba Fae. I think Bulger got a goal in the last 5 minutes or something. But, you know, just touching on that, the amount of quality they have, and, you know, that they're adding to their ranks almost on a weekly basis, they shouldn't see us as a problem at all this weekend. And I'm sure they'll be, you know, thinking about who they'll be getting in the next round rather than maybe any sort of fight that we might put up for them. Yeah, look, they're a great side, and you know, they haven't had many problems in Tala this season. So I'm sure they'll be just maybe focusing on the next round and maybe not giving us too much thought. Yeah, the hopes for the rest of the season, I suppose, first and foremost, would be survival. You know, we knew it was going to be difficult at the start of the year, and you know, if we could get a playoff place now, we'd be, I suppose, delighted with that. The way that it turned out, and I suppose the way it took us so long maybe to get ourselves in the right gear and, you know, get points on the board, and I suppose with that would come the just to continue this good run of form that we've been on. You know, it definitely has made training a lot easier, and I know, you know, being around the squad and being around the club as a whole, you know, everyone's on a high, so I suppose long may that last. And you know, I suppose with the squad that we have and why it can be so thin, and you know, there's a lot of young players in, and we've had a lot of experienced players that maybe have been injured for us earlier on in the season, I suppose, so to keep those guys injury free and to keep them on the pitch, and you know, it's going to give us a huge boost. I suppose personally, as a defender, to keep the run of clean sheets going, you know, and it's been great for us as a group, because you know, when the ball goes in, I suppose everyone's kind of maybe looking around at us to see, you know, was there a mistake with us, or you know, we've sort of become really tight as a group throughout the season. And so you know, definitely if we can keep that going, hopefully we'll not be too far away come the end.
I guess one of the big narratives of this game is Graham Burke, and you'd imagine he could be playing against Harps, so it's,
yeah,
on a great run, but it's not going to get any easier.
No, it's a massive signing, Burke, and I mean, like
Faruja coming in as well.
I suppose you think from the Rovers perspective now, I mean, the league, it's not gone, but it's probably gone. Realistically, you're talking about Devon Locke style collapse from the dog. I don't think that's going to happen. So the cup is the one. I mean, like, you speak to some, obviously, you know, I'd speak to some long serving Rovers fans who'd nearly rather a cup win over a league win at this stage, because it's been so long. The cup specialists, who I'm not sure if any of the Rovers players, maybe aside from Alan Manners, were even born the last time they won the cup. So, 87. So it's like 32 years. So, it's sort of
it's a remarkable famine when you think about it.
It is. That does coincide with a lot of their wilderness years and, you know, the homeless years. And it's in many ways, it like bookends a certain part of their history, you know, and it would be fitting, you know, for them to win a cup a while back in Tala. Obviously, they had the chance to do it in the first cup final in the Aviva. In 2010, the Sligo Rovers game, and they lost in penalties. But I mean, they really do have, like, you look at the players they have with the ability to sort of win one-off ties, you know, one-off games. You would think that it's a team that should be perfect for that. But so you know, like we spoke to, obviously, to Shane there, Shane Supple, about how maybe from the perspective of Shells, this might not be the be-all and end-all. And I suppose we'll see from Harps that as much as they're excited about the game and you know, you hear from Keith there talking about the game.
I still think, like, Harps would be looking at trying to catch Cork City.
They have to stay ahead of UCD. Not getting bogged down that road. My point is, really,
the league's priority.
Maybe, yeah, they may not really be fully focused on the cup, whereas obviously for other teams, you know, the likes of Sligo Rovers now and Pats, you know, the cup might become the focal point of the rest of their season now. And I think for Rovers, to a degree, this is it now. You know, this is their chance to, this is their last remaining chance to win some silverware and actually salvage something from not say salvage something.
Sounds a bit harsh.
Salvage is very harsh, but I guess to have something to reflect their season. Because I think for Rovers, this season, the Cup is to them what the Cup was to Cork City in 2016, when that set the tone for their league win the following year. I think they just need something to mark their progression. Because if they end with a trophyless year, it's grand. There was more of a high and there was more of a buzz, but the bottom line is still the same. And so I think really the Cup for them is absolutely everything now.
There have been some interesting signings. Watford signed Walter Figueroa, who'd been with Chelsea back in the day. Obviously,
he's been in English non-league. He's been in the Greek top flight as well.
Yeah, he played against Derry in the EA Sports Cup semi-final last night.
He did. He scored.
And obviously, unscored. Sorry, and Owen Stokes coming into Cork City as well is an interesting one. And obviously, Bowe's making the signing up front as well. So
Andre Wright, yeah.
Andre Wright, but I don't know. There will be some players, some interesting kind of teams named. Might as well give the fixtures for the cup. Drogheda versus Avondale. Drogheda had a great win against Galway at the weekend. They are genuinely pushing shells for first place at the moment. Derry City against Wexford. Glebe North versus Sligo Rovers. These are all Friday games.
Boy Parkhouse is doing well. 16 goals in all competitions. And second, he's only 2 goals behind Hooban in the Premier Division charts. Now, Hooban has a lot of games to play.
4 goals in a game.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive. He's a teenager, you know.
And
the doc about trying to sign him now.
Derry, obviously, I thought Bruna looked brilliant in the game against UCD. His passing ability, they're really flying at Derry. Cabin Teely against Cork City, if there's ever the PBC, the potential banana skin, going up to Stradbroke.
Is that a thing, PBC?
It is now.
But skin starts with S.
PBS. Is that PBS. A business bank?
PBS.
Anyway, it's a potential banana conundrum. Bows against Shells. My enthusiasm for the game has slightly gone down there, with Supps kind of saying that Shells will change it up a bit. Cove Wanderers against Limerick. Owen is still laughing at that. That wasn't, I think it was
wasn't
that
your
funny.
Finest moment. PBS is actually PBS is a television station in America.
It is.
It would do a lot of the documentary. Something you'd see like a 12-hour series on the Kennedy family or something like that. That'd be on PBS.
It's actually a top-notch channel. I watch it a fair bit. Yeah. But it is potential banana skin for Cork City.
The old PBC.
funny enough, Cabo's pitch is an awful lot better than it was. So you don't know if that's a help or a hindrance.
It's the rugby season. Yeah, it's not the rugby season.
Pats against Bray.
Cove Wanderers v Limerick. You missed that.
No, yeah. I said that actually. Cove Wanderers against Limerick. St. Pat's against
Bray Wanderers. What's that? A PB? PB.
Shamrock Rovers against Harps. And now we're on to Saturday. St. Michael's against Glengad. Longford against Athlone in the Midlands Derby. Crumlin, Malloy.
Do you know where Glengad is?
I don't. Do you?
No.
I should know that. I know roughly where Collinstown is because they're playing Galway United in Whitehall. Was my own old stomping ground in college.
Glengad is Donegal. There we go.
Donegal. Better not let Keith Cowan know our ignorance about that.
UCD Letterkenny Rovers.
Cove Ramblers Dundalk, did we mention that?
No, Cove. I mean, Cove beat
them in the
League
Sports
Cup last year, coming off the back of a European game. So I think Dundalk will be very well versed on that.
The cup for Dundalk shouldn't be discounted as well. They'll put a lot of effort into winning.
They're going to want to try and win a treble here, you know. Yeah. Like, this is ultimately that's the one thing they haven't done in their recent spell. And I think last year there would have been a feeling that they really let it go. It was a great performance by Cove Ramblers at the time, but Dundalk probably took the eye off the ball, maybe a small bit, and they made a lot of changes. So it'll be interesting because obviously the Bratislava game's on Tuesday. It's coming around quickly, the home leg. So
they make a raft of changes. They have to.
They will. They have to get those. To be fair, they have the strength to do it. You know, no one else is going to be small violin from anyone else talking about the turnaround.
UCD Letterkenny Rovers, another Donegal team. Collinstown Galway United, Lucan, Colestra, Donnycarney, 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. If you're that way inclined, getting up early to watch two non-league teams playing in the cup.
11 a.m. I mean, I know it's obviously, you know, it's a regular time for games to take place during the football level, but I don't know.
We used to play, I remember when I used to play B in the Roscommon District League, we had a lot of games at 11 o'clock and we were reasonably professional for a B team, so we wouldn't go out the night before, but you'd often come up against this kind of grizzled, like, centre-back who clearly had been out
tonight. Yeah, before. Yeah.
And he'd be sort of like, just go easy on me, young lad, today, will you? And there'd be this big whiff of beer off him.
Coughing on cars. Of course, you would now be that old lad when you venture out to play.
Coming back from a festival.
coming back from Baku, the Galway races, and a festival.
We were fairly good in Baku, in fairness. Nothing
too
bad.
No, no. Maynooth, University Town in Waterford.
Yeah.
We were playing pool against some locals, actually.
It was like...
Your performance was... A disgrace is the word that springs to mind.
It regressed. But the problem was the pool table. It was like Larry Burns episode of The Simpsons where they're on the train playing pool and all the balls went into one pocket.
No, it was like the old Brandywell pitch, just for a league final reference there. It was a sort of dramatic slope. And the high point of the pool game was when Johnny Hollywood Ward finished the match. But do you remember this? by flipping your cue around to knock it in with the arse end of the cue. So he knocked it in to showboat, and then the white just rolled down the table, and we knew what was going to happen from around 10 seconds off. So the whole place was on their feet.
The Azeris are technically good footballers. It wouldn't be great at pool.
They were absolutely appalling.
Appallingly bad. Yeah. They could barely hit the ball.
But that's because they play on this... this ice rink, slanted ice rink all the time.
The Premier Division results are from the weekend. UCD won Derry 3, Cork nil, Pats 1, Harps 1, Bowes 0. And in the First Division, Athlone 1, Longford 5, Cabinteely 3, Limerick 0, Galway 1, Drogheda 3, Wexford 1, Bray 5, and Cove 1, Shelburne 0, which really was a pretty mad result. In terms of the title race there.
5 points only now, yeah.
So interesting times ahead. So that was it. So for episode 26, best of luck to Dundalk and Bratislava. Hope they can lift themselves, Dan. I'd be a little bit worried.
I don't know. I think this is one of these things. It's good to have Donald on there. We always see things through the prism of our own club and where they're at. But I mean, there seems to be a lot of reasons to be worried if you were Slovan Bratislava and involved with them. All the other Slovakian teams have been knocked out of Europe too. And actually, Slovan's recent European record is poison in Europe. So there's obviously a certain amount of pressure on them. They have a youth team coach or the reserve team coach is in charge. It's a bloody great time to get them.
Definitely.
So, everything is relative. Like, the Dundalk aren't in disarray. Like, there are 20 unbeaten in the league. And, you know, at home, they were beaten by a much better team last week. Mm. That's not a crisis in itself.
We welcome any suggestions as to where would be a good place to watch it. I was thinking maybe the Lord Edward, but you're saying it's a bit long way. Because obviously not all bars of Air Sport.
But I mean, the Lord Edward is just somewhere that's very close to you. Mm. It's somewhere where you adventure for one of your James Joyce sort of Ulysses styles wanders around Dublin. So send this very arty Instagram picture of yourself. Like, your Instagram pictures these days are either reflective pictures of sunsets or you topless after a swim.
That was a one-off now, to be fair.
It wasn't. There was two of them.
I meant to bring something else up as well. Oh, yeah. Like, so if they did get through, and I presume, I'm being presumptuous here, but that would be an amazing trip to go to see the Pauk atmosphere.
Well,
there.
I was at Pauk Shamrock Rovers in 2011.
I've always wanted to go.
It's one of the great pre-game atmospheres. Yeah. It was actually a bit of a strange trip that, because obviously Greece was going through, you know, serious problems at the time. So there was certainly a series of strikes had brought the place to a standstill, and all the rubbish was being dumped on the street. So everywhere you walked, it was just rubbish bags like sprawled all over the place. It was actually fairly grim, you know. Thessaloniki is sort of an edgy enough
place. It's probably southern Macedonia in technical terms, that it's part of the old Macedonia region. But I actually don't, like, I watched a bit of Pauk last year. There's probably a presumption that Ajax will definitely get through, but you'd never know. One way or the other,
if Dundalk were to get past Bratislava and lose that tie, it would probably represent an okay year in Europe for them.
In terms absolutely.
Of what they've done. So in many respects, I think how they do against Bratislava will probably decide how their European year is remembered. So this is an opportunity for them to do what really the most that realistically could be expected of them. As I said earlier, I'm repeating myself here, for any club to make that breakthrough, you need that luck of the draw. Batty and all these teams, they also got lucky draws to send them along the way. And one or two other teams this year are going to get lucky in a way that maybe the Dundalk haven't. But I mean, it's very presumptuous to suddenly start talking about the fourth round. To beat Bratislava over two legs, for all that they may be in a bit of disarray, is still a massive ask. You know, it would still be
a massive achievement if you're playing against a team that can sign a striker for like a couple of million quid. You know, that's a couple of rungs up the ladder.
Before we wrap up, nice piece from your trip as well. Good long read in the
Indo. A bit of the people behind the story. And this is the thing, like what's happening at the Dundalk now is that the Dundalk is still basically like a community club with a lot of volunteers and fans, but you have this whole other strand to Dundalk now where you have different owners and different characters and different people involved and their ambitions, and it's almost trying to like merge the two, and it's
a happy medium.
The club's at an interesting point in its history here because you know those people are still there and still pivotal to the volunteers to running the club, but also they're trying to be a very high end professional operation competing at the highest level in Europe too. And it's that's why I wanted to do a piece on something like that. So that was the plan. But they've got more European tales to come anyway, that's for sure.
Don't forget the game again is live. Slovan Bratislava v Dundalk from 7:10 on Wednesday on Air Sport. And best of luck to Dundalk, and thanks again for listening.
But there are limits to your life.